Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of John, John chapter number 10. When you found that, put your finger there and turn to Psalm 23. We're going to be in Psalm 23 for the evening. I love to be in church. And that's all right. I get so tired of the world saying Christians can't have fun. I have a good time. I've been at this long enough to where I realize, you know what? Serving God is a blast. And it's hard to believe the quarter century I've been working in ministry. And I feel like I'm getting old, but I'm still having a good time. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But serving Jesus is a wonderful thing. You can't beat when you see a young person come to church, going through some of the train wrecks that they're dealing with, and see them get saved, and a smile on their face and joy in their heart when they come out of their messed up situations, and they just love coming to church. You can't beat that. And so I just want to encourage you, keep being faithful. When I was going out to the van, I don't know, one of your kids came up like, Mrs. Burns is here. It just did something for me because I've known it for a long time, and what that does is it encourages me when you see somebody that's just at it and at it and at it and at it. So thank you, Mrs. Burns, for being faithful. Thank you. I don't know all of you. I tried to shake hands with you on the way in and so forth, but just be faithful. That is required in stewards that a man be found. We often look and say it's required that we're successful, but that's not what God says. But we can all be faithful. And so I've seen, as I've traveled the last couple of years especially, a lot of people have faded away from church. A lot of people have faded away from church. And so let's encourage one another to be faithful. That's why I like church, because you gather together. You never had a bad day, but somebody can come around and say, praying for you. How can I help you? Let's encourage one another. And, you know, you see this in sports, warfare, put a pat on the back. We need to do the same thing in the house of God. And so we have a wonderful group that can encourage us along the way. I'm just glad that we can serve our wonderful Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but sometimes people get up and they introduce me as a speaker. I'm looking forward to some of my people at that summer camp this summer, July. I get to preach to the kids at summer camp this upcoming summer, and so I'm looking forward to that. But sometimes we're going to give an introduction. When you read the book of John, you'll find that Jesus introduces himself in all ways. He says something like this: I am the bread of life. I have not done my introduction about myself. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. We come to John chapter number 10, and we see in verse number 11, he introduces himself again. He calls us the heirs of Christ. All the way back in Exodus, when Moses stood by the burning bush, and God introduced himself, Moses, who are the young guys that so sent me to the living yet and Lord of Egypt? And the bush in the bush, and he said, I am. But I am. And I was present tense. I said, I was, but I was. I am, but I am. The verse number 11, we come and we tell us, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse number 13, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm man of my mouth. For us to wrap our minds around us, it's hard for me because I have never been involved in working with sheep. How many of you have sheep at your household? Anybody? Okay, so you're like, no, I can talk about shepherding, I can talk about flocks, but really, I don't know much about it except what I read on the internet, or read from the picture prayer book. Jesus comes and he tells the people of Israel who understand sheep and understand the shepherd, I am the good shepherd. And he gives us this talk and the howling and so forth. Aren't you thankful that we have a good shepherd? And he's not just a shepherd that walks his way, he gives his life for the sheep. Now turn on to Psalm 23, and this is a familiar psalm to all of us, I believe. I'd like to just encourage you tonight. I'm assuming it's a Wednesday night camp. I assume that everybody here tonight knows the wouldn't go out and talk about the shepherd. All of my hurts. If I came to you tonight and said, hey, can I draw blankets? You might get to put a smile on your face and pull out the phone and just start slapping them up. I really didn't want to see him. I was just asking a simple question. Go ahead then. Because you just kind of have that smile because there's something special when it comes to your grandkids. What about the Lord? It's easy to end on a sermon, but if somebody comes and says, when you have that smile on your face, you can say, let me tell you. And if there is God, the travel of God, I trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, here I am, my shepherd. Psalm 22. Who knows the psalm? Psalm 23. Let's do this. Let's just go ahead and read all six verses together, and then I'll give you some thoughts in the next, I think I can squeeze it in the next 20 minutes. If it gets boring, just throw something at me, Miss America, and we'll be good to go. Psalm 23, let's read verses 1 through 6 together. Read it, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Now, if you look right above verse number 1, it says Psalm 23, and maybe in your Bible it doesn't say it, but generally right below, do you have it there? What does it say? A psalm of...
Again, as I said, if I were going to write a psalm like this, it would be kind of just words that I had to steal from encyclopedia. But David can write this psalm, I tell you why, because he understood the life of the shepherd because he was one. He could talk about this with some intellectual because he understood it. Now, I love the story of David. I love to find in junior church.
I love to imitate and have this idea of him slinging the sling. I don't know, 8-10 years ago, I was privileged to go to the land of Israel and went to the valley of Elah. And we were on the Israelite side, or so we thought.
And we kind of illustrated David and Goliath, and I have to be David, and what about it be David? And
I still live on, praise the Lord for that.
But David writes the psalm, understanding the importance of the shepherd. You even read about Moses. Moses could talk about shepherding and leading because he was one. It's interesting to note when the people of Israel are coming, Joseph brought his father and his brother to land of Egypt. Do you remember what Joseph told his father and his brothers?
Don't tell them to shepherds. Because they despise shepherding. You know, it's interesting to note, Egypt has always been a picture of what? Help me out tonight. The world, do you know what the world doesn't like? The shepherd of your flock? Some things have never changed.
The pastor is called the
under-shepherd,
following the chief shepherd. So that's why it's a good thing, folks, to pray for your pastor. I can say this, here's a young man, and this is new territory for him, and I don't think he says, thank you, I've got it figured out. I think he would welcome the fact that you would just get down on your knees on a regular basis and pray for him and his wife and his family, because the Lord despises
a shepherd that loves his flock and loves the Word of God. So I'm sure
David understood sheep. So he comes to the psalm and simply says, the Lord, and now you look down and you probably know this already, but that word Lord is in all capital letters. It's a significant thing because that's the word that we use for Jehovah. Now, people come and say, when I'm door knocking, I still have to wear a certain tie when I go door knocking, and people will look up and say, you're one of those Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm like, no, but I do witness for Jehovah.
My kids were little, they had a problem with saying, mine. I don't know if you ever dealt with that, but there'd be 50 cows in the nursery. They would walk in, and there was another kid in there, and the kid would have one of the 50, so there's 49 left. And with me, Joe, you probably never did this, I'm sure. And for some reason, they sauntered over to the kid that was there with the one time. Wrestling, so I put on some good moves. And I'm going to take the third action floor and take it and say something to this effect. Mind. So I began to figure out how can I help my children with this. So we went home and worked on this, we trained them. Every time we heard that, I said, no, that was God's. Everything was God's. Everything was God's. Everything was God's. We just taught, and sometimes we'd fight over my wife's shoe and say, whose is that? It's God's. No, let's stop talking. But the Lord knows my heart tonight. We have family devotions. I believe in family devotions. We teach our kids to be in their Bible on a regular basis. And there's going to come a point, I hope very soon, especially with my older two, where this is not just Daddy's book. It's not just Pastor Crumb's book. It's not Mrs. Byron's book. This is not Mrs. S, right? I can't say her last name. But my mother said it's something like, well, Daddy, this is, you know what happened? They'll want to read it. They'll want to protect it when they say it's not just my father's God anymore. It's my God. Someone will cuss out in the workplace. They'll say, no, don't talk about his name like that. Do you know? He died for you. He died for me. Because things change when something becomes personal. So tonight, can I remind you the Lord is my shepherd. I don't have fun yet. I am. Number two. He's not only a personal shepherd, he is a providing shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Let me say it this way. There is nothing I will lack. There is nothing I will need if I'm following Jehovah, the good shepherd. David says, I don't need anything because the Lord is my shepherd. And he says, probably when he was home, and he says, in Psalm 27, verse 24, I have been young, and now I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He wants it. It is something consistent. It's not as a young person. He'll put a husband and say, they found the Lord, and they've just seen that. They always have the desires of the heart. There he's out. I can just picture this. Now I'm out, and I've still seen the same. If you follow the shepherd, he's going to provide for you. Elijah learned that at the brook Cherith. Can we add the book and he takes you for a moment? You probably know the story. He's sitting there a little hungry. The stomach's growling just a little bit. Oh, Lord, he told me to come back to the brook Cherith. Can you imagine the shadows of those ravens coming across? I don't know how big Elijah's appetite was. I don't know how many times he went to the buffet and says, Raven, I need another one. I don't know how long it went. But after that, Elijah learned the lesson that my God will provide. Do you believe that tonight? Now, here's a thought. This is kind of a blunt statement, but I'll say it. If you are not being provided for, you might want to check who your shepherd is. A couple of young people right over here. You know what I watch a lot of young people today? Stiff arm mom and dad. Stiff arm the pastor. I got this figured out. I can live my life on my own, and there's this constant struggle to provide for themselves. Can I say this? It don't work. Excuse my English. Because I've learned this. He will take care of your needs. It's not just a cliche verse in Philippians chapter 4 that says, my God shall supply all you need. Paul is writing that, may I remind you, from prison.
and he doesn't seem like a discontented person, because all I hear him say is, rejoice, 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 rejoice. You know, because he had a God who accepts all his needs again and again and again. The Lord is a surviving shepherd. But we get some here with us. Are you okay if I come down? Okay, just want to make sure. I've never preached in here before, so I don't want to get fired. You have five kids. When you go to a restaurant and you have a nice meal, fancy meal, steak dinner, you know, let's say Shady Maple. How does that sound? Good deal. Shady Maple, that's about $20 a pound if you go for lunch. So that would be five kids, seven. $140 cash. That's a pretty expensive deal. When, let's just say there's a lot of lunches that I've done now, they just kind of have you pay right up front. Let's just say they came, one of the lunches came out, and they had that bar and that little side that they had normally, and they come out to you, hand in hand, they bow to. She says, Dad. Purposeful shepherd. You know,
for he has a plan and direction for his sheep. Now, again, it's hard for us to understand. My brother and my pastor's down in Mexico City area, and he has a church kind of in the city and a church out in the country. The church in the city is in the city of Tula, in the state of Hidalgo, and there was one in the country. I just like saying this. I don't know Spanish, but it's called Tequisquiac. I just like saying that. It makes me sound like no Spanish. But in that country, there are shepherds. And I saw them taking their sheep, just small groups of sheep, and like, you ever wonder, where are they going? Just walk around. Yes, correct. Something like that, I don't know. But just like this, our shepherd, what does it say? He never asks to lay down. Now, that's what every second. Yeah, no time. That's what he said. Don't even mention his name. She likes naps. So watch me. We live in a run, 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 go, go, go world, don't we? Sometimes, I've watched this, people will say, I just want to walk with God. I just want to be close to God. And then you'll hear something along these lines. Cancer. Loss of job. Terrible situation comes up in our minds. I make a lot of hospital visits, and I go into the hospital visit. I'm there for one purpose, to encourage the people in the hospital. Now watch me. When I leave, I feel this bad of a Christian, and they're the ones that encourage me. And they'll say something like this, oh man, God has just dealt with me through this time. And I'm closer to God than I've ever been.
Excitement in our hands.
for me was his lack of confidence. Can I say this? I'm so glad I can have confidence in him because he's led the way. He's gone through every temptation, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, with an all points tempted, like as we are, not without sin, praise him back to that. He knows the temptation, he knows the difficulties, he knows the problem, and as he leads you, he's leading the way, and we can take our own obstructions along the way. Praise be to God. I've been to the Grand Canyon. I've been to Pikes Peak. And it's just, and somebody went ahead and paved the trail. And that's what God's done for us. Now, this is pretty rural area, right? I like Chicago. Where I can drive and just like in and out. You know? Especially when you have a church bus. Now, you shouldn't do this because it's a bad testimony. But it's kind of fun when you're in traffic and you kind of move and everybody's got to move because you're bigger than them. But sometimes you get into cities like Boston, and you get into the city, and it just doesn't make sense. Like, I don't get this. We're defining this nonsense in the city. Now, watch me. When you get into a plane, and the plane takes you upward, and you look down, it all makes sense. Even in the rural areas, I feel like, especially in Pennsylvania, you just wind over here, wind over your neck. And not just get down as you're getting tested. But you go up in the airplane, you go up there and look down, and it says, the way it's supposed to be, because somebody designed it, they're wearing their watch wheel, and I gotta be there. Sometimes I'm walking towards them, standing and talking, I'm over here, and it just is outside and just frustrated. And then watch me as I go up here with the Lord and I walk with him, and then it says, look down. There is a purpose. There is a plan. Oh, my God, I can trust my shepherd. He's purposeful. He leads us. He is a protecting shepherd. I'll close with this. He wants all our fear. The pandemic revealed some things to us, did it not? Our world is in a state of fear. People still drive down the road with masks on. And that's fine, that's no prerogative. But there was a, to me, it revealed a lot of people living. He says, I will fear no evil. Why? So thou art with me. My daughter Charis is a lot of fun to travel with. I'll be traveling with her on Friday. She's 10. And we'll walk somewhere. A lot of times her hand will just slide up into mine. And it kind of gives me this confidence that she's trusting that I'm going to protect her. My boys used to do that. Now they're both bigger than me, so now my hand goes into theirs. Now, let me explain this. And I think just three teenagers, so excuse me if you're picking on me, but I just need to. Because I'm leaving tomorrow, so it's okay. I'll fly to the airport tomorrow, and I'll go there with all my stuff. And I'll walk through the security line, and they'll say, take your shoes off, take your belt off, take your jacket off, take your eyebrow off. They'll just tell me, I don't know what it is. I must look like a terrorist. But I always get pulled off to the side. That's it. I don't know what it is. I think I'm going to look like a nice guy, but apparently they don't. And so it's almost like I should let them pack my stuff. It's been a lot easier. And then you get on and they say, don't do this and do this. And well, I find myself with people who are concerned about my safety getting annoyed at them. I'm just telling you, 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 I'm just telling you,
can you apply that? Pastor comes in and says, listen, you know what? There's some pain, some turbulence that I have. Put your seatbelt on, folks. We're cutting up some things in our church. And as church members, and this unguilty in your church, man, come on, you gotta be that nice. You gotta be that legend. You gotta be that. Come here, look me in the mouth. Come on, hey, let's go. Catch you.
Mom says, don't wear that. Don't be with them. Don't watch that. Especially boys when it comes to mom. How old are you? Yeah. Ah. And this is mom here, right? So her mom says, Tim? I was there. Sad to say. My son's been there. Another one's coming up, and he's going to be there probably. And the people that are concerned about your safety, you get annoyed at. And the person that's concerned about the watch care of the flock, be honest. Be honest. He annoys us. And all they're doing it is for our safety. I'm glad God is a protecting shepherd. I'll close with this. There was once an actor, he did these Shakespearean plays and so forth. He was known everywhere for his one-man show of readings and recitations from the classics. He would always end his performances with a dramatic reading of Psalm 23. Each night, without exception, as the actor began his recital, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the crowd would listen attentively. And then at the conclusion of the psalm, they would rise in thunderous applause and appreciation of his ability to bring the verses to life. But one night, just before the actor was to offer his customary recital of Psalm 23, a young man from the audience raised his hand. Sir, do you mind if tonight I recite Psalm 23? Actor was quite taken back by this unusual request, but he allowed the young man to come forward and stand front and center on stage to recite the psalm, knowing that the ability of this unskilled youth would be no match for his own talents. With a soft voice, the young man began to recite the words of the psalm. When he was finished, there was no applause. There was no standing ovation as on other nights. All that could be heard was the sound of weeping. The audience had been so moved by the young man's recital that every eye was filled with tears, and the actor was amazed. He said, I don't understand. I've been performing Psalm 23 for years. I had a lifetime of experience and training, but I've never been able to move an audience as I have today. Tell me, young man, what is your secret? To which the young man humbly replied, well, sir, you know the psalm. I know the shepherd. How many times have you been to a funeral of lost folks? And what psalm is almost quoted every time? People might even be moved. But my encouragement tonight is this. I believe most of you know the psalm. Most of you probably know the shepherd. What does that cause you to do? Make it personal. Understand he has purpose. He can provide and he can protect. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.